what God has promised us. What has God promised us? Well, we've been in 1st and 2nd Peter, and Peter says some of the things that God has promised us is, first, a priceless inheritance, right? An inheritance in heaven for you and me, those of us who are believers, believing that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day. We have a priceless inheritance that God has promised us. Second, we've been saying protection until Christ returns, until Jesus comes back for us. And third thing he has promised us is enabling power, his Spirit living and dwelling inside of us, enabling us to do things we could not do in our own power and strength. So since we have received all of these promises, Peter says, what should we be doing as Christians? And here's kind of the main passage that we've been looking at, 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7. He says, in view of all this, in view of what God has promised us, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement or add to your faith a generous provision of what? Moral excellence. So in week one, we talked about moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. So last week we talked about self-control. Today I want to talk about the next one on the list, and that is patient endurance. Patient endurance. And I am someone who lacks patience, right? I am one of the most impatient people. And when did it start? Well, if you talk to my mom, she would say it started at birth. She said, if that bottle wasn't ready immediately, that I would scream. And my wife, Monica, would probably tell you not much has changed, right? If I'm hungry, I want to eat now. Forget waiting in line. If we go to a restaurant and they're like, it's a 45-minute wait, I'm like, forget it. We are out of here, right? I am not waiting, right? I want to eat. Now, when it comes to cooking, Joseph got a raw deal. Who's Joseph? Well, the Joseph we're talking about is in the book of Genesis, and we kind of began his story last week, and we're going to continue this week on in his story, and one more week in his story, as Joseph exemplifies some of these characteristics. He lived them out. He was a person who patiently endured a lot, right? So when it comes to cooking, he got a raw deal. His brothers hated him, if you remember. Why? Why did Joseph's brothers hate him? Most of you know the story. It's because his father, their father, loved Joseph more than the rest of them. And I would say that would be a reason why you probably would. Jealousy. Right? They hated him. And so what did his brothers do to him? You remember? They threw him into a cistern. They threw him into a well. And then they sold him to some Ishmaelite traders. And the traders, these Ishmaelite traders, in turn, sold him to who? Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Now, Potiphar noticed that the Lord was with Joseph. So he put Joseph in charge of his entire household because Joseph was handsome and well-built. Potiphar's wife also noticed him. And she tried to get him to sleep with her. But Joseph refused. In fact, he what? He ran out of the room, leaving his cloak behind. She then told her husband that Joseph tried to rape her. Potiphar was furious and what? Threw Joseph in prison. Perhaps by this time in your life, you have a few stories of your own, right? Maybe not exactly to the extent of Joseph here in his stories, or maybe even further, right? Maybe by this time in your They just slammed you. They said all sorts of mean and nasty things about you that just aren't true. Whatever it is, you feel like you've been put through the ringer, right? You feel like you've been put through the ringer by what's been going on or happening in your life. And after a while, you begin to question, if God is really with me, then why is all this stuff happening to me? And no doubt these thoughts had to be running through Joseph's mind. I did the right thing, and now I'm being punished for it? Let's continue on in our story here. Genesis 40, verse 1. Sometime later, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker offended their royal master. Pharaoh became angry with these two officials and put them in the prison where Joseph was, in the palace of the captain of the guard. They remained in prison for quite some time, and the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph to look after them. Now, why did the captain of the guard assign these men to Joseph? Because once again, someone noticed that the Lord was with Joseph. It was evident. All this junk, all this bad stuff happened to Joseph, and yet people could tell there was something different about him. And so this prison warden, if you will, put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners. Here's a question for you. Are people able to see that the Lord is with you despite your circumstances? Are people able to see that God is with you? Are they able to see something different inside of you? Despite all of the stuff, all of the junk, all everything that may be going on in your life. Put another way, what's your story? What's your story? Is it one of heartache, doom, and gloom? Or is it one that's filled with joy, hope, and peace? The difference in how you tell your story has to do with where your focus is. Let me say that again. The difference in how you tell your story has to do with where your focus is. Is it on the thing that happened to you or the things that have happened to you? Or is it on the new birth that's been given to you in Jesus Christ? You see, Jesus continued to be central in Joseph's story. Everyone could see that the Lord was working and living through Joseph. Well, what happened next in our story here? Let's continue on. Verse 5. While they were in prison, Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker each had a dream one night, and each dream had its own meaning. When Joseph saw them the next morning, he noticed that they both looked upset. "Why do you look so worried today?" he asked them. And they replied, "We both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean. Interpreting dreams is whose business? God's business," Joseph replied. "Go ahead and tell me your dreams." Maybe a long time ago you had a dream. Maybe a long time ago you had a dream. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's where I'm going to go. This is what my career is going to be. This is what I dream of being and doing. Who I'm going to marry someday. Right? Whatever it was, this dream of yours, it isn't what your life is now. And you may say, "Yeah, Ed, I'm not living the dream." I'm not living the dream. This wasn't your dream. Or the way you thought. you see in your life as something bad that has happened to you, God wants to use for the good. God used Joseph in the midst of his pain and suffering to make a difference. And I believe God wants to use you. Right? Your story is important to him. Everything that has happened to you, right? The good, the bad, the ugly. So don't bury this thing or these things that have happened to you, but bring them into the light. Use them to make a difference with the people that God has placed in your path. You have a story that people need to hear. Joseph. Joseph was open and he was willing to listen to other people's stories, to listen to other people's dreams. He knew life wasn't just about him. Why? Because he knew these dreams weren't about him, but they were really all about God. As is everything, it's all about him. The first day in the purpose-driven life book, it's not about me. But I always want to make it about me, right? Continuing on in our story, Genesis 40, verse 9. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream first. In my dream, he said, I saw a grapevine in front of me. The vine had three branches that began to bud and blossom, and soon it produced clusters of ripe grapes. I was holding Pharaoh's wine cup in my hand. So I took the cluster of grapes and squeezed the juice into the cup. Then I placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. This is what the dream means, Joseph said. The three branches represent 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift you up and restore you to your position as the chief cupbearer. And please remember me. Don't forget about me. And do me a favor when things go well for you. Mention me to Pharaoh so he might let me out of this place. For I was kidnapped from my homeland, the land of the Hebrews, and now I'm here in prison, but I did nothing to deserve it. Did things go well for this cupbearer? Those of you who know the story know that they did go well for him. The chief baker, on the other hand, was a different story, right? Things didn't go well for him. Did this cupbearer remember Joseph? Did he remember him? Let's read the next verse, verse 23. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. When I read this verse, my initial reaction is, oh, talk about letting the air out of the balloon. Do you ever feel like you've been punched in the gut? If so, then you know and understand how Joseph felt. It looks like Joseph would have to patiently endure a little longer. But for how long? Genesis 41, verse 1. 2 full years later. Let me say that again. 2 full years later. You can almost feel the pain. Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing on the bank of the Nile River. How many years later? 2 full years later. I'm guessing if you were sitting in prison, you'd know exactly how long it was, right? You'd know exactly how long it was if you were sitting in prison. And maybe you're in a situation right now in your life where you feel like you're in prison. The debt is insurmountable. Like, I don't know how we're going to get out of debt. The marriage looks to be irreconcilable. Your job seems to be getting worse instead of better. The friendship looks to be irreparable. So what do you do? You pray and you wait for the Lord to intervene. I'm sure this is what Joseph was doing while he was sitting there in prison. Did the Lord hear and answer Joseph's prayers? Let's read on. Verse 9. Finally, the king's chief cupbearer spoke up. Today, I have been reminded of my failure. It's been 2 full years. Today, I have suddenly remembered, he told Pharaoh. Some time ago, you were angry with the chief baker and me, and you imprisoned us in the palace of the captain of the guard. One night, the chief baker and I each had a dream, and each dream had its own meaning. There was a young Hebrew man with us in the prison who was a slave of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he told us what each of our dreams meant. And everything happened just as he had predicted. I was restored to my position as cupbearer, and the chief baker was executed and impaled on a pole. Well, how did Pharaoh react when he heard the news? He was excited. He was like, I need to meet this guy. Right? I need to find out if he can tell me what my dreams mean. So continuing on in verse 14, Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once, and he was quickly brought from the prison. After he shaved and changed his clothes, he went in and stood before Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream last night, and no one can tell me what it means. But I have heard that when you hear about a dream, you can interpret it. It is beyond my power to do this, Joseph replied. But God can tell you what it means and set your mind at ease. What is it I want you to notice here? Joseph's dreams may have been crushed. His dreams may have been crushed. However, he's still depending upon God. He hasn't given up on God. In fact, he's pointing everything back to God. I cannot do it. But God can tell you what it means. He can do it. And he can set your mind at ease. You know, this is the place we're all trying to come to in our lives. This is the place we're all trying to come to in our lives. A place of total surrender. I cannot do it, but God can. That's the place we're trying to get to. What happens when we reach this point in our lives? God begins to open up doors we never thought were possible. Verse 39. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a rank higher than yours. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and placed it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in fine linen clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck. Then he had Joseph ride in the chariot reserved for his second in command. And wherever Joseph went, the command was shouted, kneel down! So Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all of Egypt. I read this and I think, what the what? Talk about going from wrath. prison after he shaved and changed his clothes. I can't imagine what he looked like. Now he's wearing fine linen clothing with a gold chain around his neck. Are you saying these things could happen to me, Ed? It's possible. Why? Because all things are possible with God. You have no idea what's right around the corner. Let me say that again. You have no idea what's right around the corner. But Ed, I've been single for so long now. Okay. You stay faithful. You stay faithful and trust and wait and believe that God will provide. Look at what happened to Joseph, verse 45. Then Pharaoh gave Joseph a new Egyptian name, Zanapath-Panea. He also gave him a wife, whose name was Anthes. She was the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On. So Joseph took charge of the entire land of Egypt. What is it I want you to notice here? The Lord God not only took care of Joseph, but he fulfilled a longing of his heart. Blessed him with a wife. I don't know what you're longing to see happen in your life. I don't know what you're patiently waiting for or patiently enduring right now. I'm sure if I were to go home with you today and sit in your house and we were to get at your kitchen table, you could tell me a story or two of some things that you're going through and dealing with right now. I don't know what it is that you're longing to see happen. Maybe it's to receive a scholarship. Maybe it's to get back what you lost. Maybe it's for some changes to take place regarding your health. You're hoping that this drug will change things in your body. Maybe it's for a loved one to come to the Lord. Right? You've been praying for him or her forever. Whatever it is that's on your plate right now, you can be sure God knows about it. You can be sure God knows about it. Don't give up bringing it in prayer to him. Don't give up bringing it in prayer to him. Why? Because he hears your prayers. I'm about to wrap up here. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. And we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. What did the Lord give Joseph? What did he give him? Two sons. A wife. Do you remember what he named his sons? And what he said about them? Verse 51. Joseph named his older son Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my troubles. I've gone through some junk. My brothers threw me in a well. I was then thrown in prison for something I didn't do. God has made me forget all that stuff. And everyone in my father's family. Joseph named his second son Ephraim, for he said, God has made me fruitful. Right? God's blessed me with a wife, now two sons, in this land of my grief. I pray that God would make you forget all your troubles. Forget all the junk and all the stuff that's happened to you, and that he would make you fruitful. In the meantime, you may have to patiently endure some things. endured some things. How about Job? How about Job? Do you remember what he lost? He lost everything. From his animals to his farmhands and finally his children. Did the Lord forget about Joseph? Excuse me, Job. Did the Lord forget about Job? No. Why not? Because Job was a great example of patience in the face of suffering. How did James sum it up? Last verse, or James 5, verse 10. For examples of patience, patiently enduring and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. We honor them. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end. The Lord took care of him. For the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy and compassion. What's my prayer? That God would help you. That God would help you patiently endure whatever it is that you're going through right now. That's my prayer. That God would help you. And I believe He will. Because all things do work together for good for those who love the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm barely hanging on. I want to pray for you. Right? Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I've never given the Lord my life. I've been trying to live life on my own forever. And I want to surrender my life to Him today. I want to make Him my Lord and Savior. We're going to give you that opportunity. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your word. Maybe you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you say, Ed, I need to surrender my heart and my life to the Lord. I cannot do it on my own. I need Jesus. If that's you, then I'd like to lead you in a prayer that you pray softly and quietly in your heart as you repeat these words after me. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask You to forgive me for my sins. I thank You for dying on the cross for me. I ask You to come into my heart and make me like You. If you just pray that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I am losing patience. I'm having trouble believing. Would You pray for me? Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that You would strengthen them. That You would fill them with joy and hope and peace. Because they have no idea what's right around the corner. You are a good God.